Acts 16. Acts 16, verses 16 through 18. 16 through 18. Amen. When you get it, say amen. It read this way. One day as we were going down to the place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit that enabled her to tell the future. She earned a lot of money for her masters by telling fortunes. And she followed Paul and the rest of us, shouting, "These men are servants of the Most High God, and they have come to tell you how to be saved." And then verse 18, this went on day after day until Paul got so exasperated that he turned and said to the demon within her, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And instantly it left her. Listen, I'm going to ask you to underline a few things. In verse 16, the text says that we met a slave girl who had a spirit that enabled her to tell the future. Underline that. Enabled her to tell the future. And then in verse 17, it says she followed Paul, the rest of us, and the rest of us. Underline that. She followed Paul and the rest of us. And then in verse 18, there's a statement in there that says this went on day after day until Paul got so exasperated, underline exasperated, that he turned and said to the demon within her, "I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her." And instantly it left her. Just for a few moments, I want to preach from the subject title, Killing the Python. Killing the Python. Turn to your neighbor, say, "Neighbor, Pastor Jay is going to preach Killing the Python." Amen. Grab your neighbor by the hand. Let's pray. Listen, man, before we pray, man, I ask that you would just in your own way, man, get into the presence of the Lord, concentrate on him, ask him to take away any distraction at this moment, ask him to take away any lingering thoughts of your troubles that you brought in here, even your celebrations that you brought in here. Ask him to take away anything that you got planned afterwards, stuff that you got to do for Monday, the test you got to study for, the job situation, and just for this moment, just concentrate on him. And in your heart, man, ask God to speak to you, change you, to direct you. Father, we come say thank you. Father, we come humble, Lord God, throwing our crowns at your feet. Father, we come, Lord God, saying that we are desperately in need of a word. Father, that we thirst after you, and not only do we need a word, but we need your presence. Father, we need your presence. We need you. Father, today we don't come seeking a breakthrough. We don't come seeking a job. We don't come seeking money. We don't come seeking anything except for you. Father, we want to pursue you today, Lord God. We want to feel your presence. We want to hear your heart, Lord God. And we want to open our ears to hear from you. So, Father, we ask that you would just take a seat on your throne in this sanctuary today, Lord God, and that we may be changed, that we may be transformed, so that we might be able to change our families, change our situations, Lord God, change our schools, change our jobs, Lord God. Father God, we need you today. We pant for you like a deer in the brook. We're thirsty for you, Lord God. We need your presence, Lord. We need your anointing, Lord. We need your power, Lord. Let us not just celebrate, Lord God, just because it's Sunday, but let us celebrate, Lord God, because we know your presence is with us. And in your presence, there is peace. In your presence, there is joy. In your presence, there is provision. In your presence, there is peace. In your presence, Lord God, there is no nothing that cannot be done. In your presence, Lord God, everything is possible. And so, Father God, we ask for you to usher your presence into this place right now in Jesus' name. Father God, we ask, Lord God, that we would not walk out of here the same way that we came. We cast our burdens down right now in Jesus' name. You're bigger than our problems. You're bigger than our bills. You're bigger than our worries right now in Jesus' name. We come against the enemy's attacks, Lord God, to have us doubting your word, to have us doubting your presence, have us doubting what you have called us to do. And Father, we ask, Lord God, that everything that today will be pleasing unto you. We ask, Lord God, that not only that everything that we say, but everything that we do today is pleasing unto you. Let us walk in obedience, and we'll be careful to give you all the glory and all the praise and all the honor. Now, Lord, let the words of my mouth and the meditation of my heart be acceptable in thy sight. You are my strength. You are my rock. You are my redeemer. Teach us your way, O Lord, and we will keep it until the end. Teach us your way, O Lord, and I will keep it until the end. We praise you. We glorify you. It's in Jesus' precious name we do pray. We say amen and amen. If you know that God is ready to speak to you, put your hands together. Amen. Maybe seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. I see University of Michigan, Michigan State, Spelman. Ain't nobody here from Hillman College. Nobody. What about Mission College? Y'all know, y'all know about that. It's just, that's too old for y'all. Amen. Mission College. School days, no, never, in whatever. All right, let me preach. You got me. Amen. There's a snake. There's a snake named, and it's called a python. And a python snake is a predator snake. And being a predator snake means is that it eats other rodents and animals and other things. But one thing about the python snake that is different is that it doesn't have venom. There are other snakes that have venom. For instance, a cobra has venom. So there are other snakes that if they bite you, you die because they have poison and they inject venom into your body and ultimately into your veins. And you die. The one thing about a venomous snake is that when you get bit by a venomous snake, you know you've been bitten. And when you get bit by a venomous snake, you know that you are in trouble and the possibility of death or ailment or illness is on its way. The issue with a python is that a python is not venomous, but the python is a constrictor snake. And what a python does is that a python will actually wrap itself around its prey. And before you know it, the python will begin to squeeze its prey. And it literally begins to need to squeeze the life out of the prey. The problem with constrictors and pythons, which is one of the largest constrictor snakes, is that you don't know that you're being attacked until you feel the squeeze. A python sneaks up on its prey, wraps itself around it, and then it begins to squeeze. Literally, it will squeeze the life out of its prey. There are situations and things in our life that the enemy has set up that are literally like pythons, that they wrap themselves around us. And before you know it, they begin to squeeze the life out of us. There are situations that squeeze our joy out. There's circumstances that squeeze our peace out. There are situations that squeeze our dreams out of us. There's situations that come to squeeze our confidence out of us. The enemy will literally set up situations in your life, not always to get you with venom, that you know that he's coming to bite you, but other situations come a little bit more subtle than, and they come to actually squeeze the life out of you. You thought that you were just in a relationship, but it was a pythonic relationship. It actually came to squeeze the life out of you. You thought that you just was going to go make some money, but it was outside of your purpose, outside of your destiny. And what you thought was a blessing is now squeezing the life out of you. You thought that everybody does this, and can't nobody judge me because everybody got some sin, but the things that you walking in that you thought was harmless is now squeezing your confidence, is squeezing the life out of you. The enemy will literally set up traps in our lives to squeeze the life out of us. The Bible declares that he comes to steal, he comes to kill, and he comes to destroy. But the great thing about what the enemy does is that he don't always do it with a lot of notice. Sometimes it's done on the sly. And before you know it, you're in the traps of the enemy's arms, and the life is being squeezed out of you. This woman in this text says that she was a slave girl. And the Bible says that she had the ability to tell fortunes. And Paul and Silas, they're on their missionary journey, and they're doing ministry. And they're on their missionary journey doing ministry, doing what they do. And this slave girl begins to follow them. And she begins to tell them that they are apostles of God and that they were coming to bring the message of the Son of God. So she was literally announcing their coming. She was announcing their coming to them, as well as she was announcing their coming to all of the people. And the Bible declares later on in the text that Paul actually rebuked the girl. Paul, why did you rebuke the girl? Even though she was saying the right thing, because everything she was saying was right, they were apostles from God, and they did come to tell the people about the Son of God, that everything that she was saying was a right thing, it was coming from a wrong place. That even though she was saying the right thing, doing the right thing, it was not coming from God, it was coming from a demonic force. It was coming from a demonic place. And that's why, you know, I don't trip off of the fact that everybody's in church. Because just because everybody's in church and you come to church, you have a ritual, come to church, does not mean that we all are in relationship with Jesus Christ. So every Sunday, man, I make a plea to recommit your life to Jesus, because this lady is saying the truth, but it's coming from a demonic place. So why, Pastor Jay, in the world is this message called Killing a Python? The reason why I termed this message Killing a Python is because of the history of this young lady. There was a shrine in Macedonia, a Roman colony, in which everyone went to worship Apollos. And at this shrine, outside of this shrine, there it was guarded by pythons. And legend would have it that these pythons would transfer spirits. And one of the abilities that they had to transfer was the ability to tell the future and to give fortune. And so, therefore, her ability came from a demonic place and a demonic force. And so in order for us to move forward in some areas of our lives, we have to kill some pythons. Everything in your life ain't just a habit. Some of it is demonic, that the enemy has crept in and set up strongholds in your life that keep us in certain predicaments. Okay, what's the first point, Pastor Jay? Number one is, every wonder is not a wonder. Every wonder is not wonderful. Every wonder is not wonderful. Watch what the text says. One day as we were going down to the place of prayer, we met a slave girl who had a spirit that enabled her to tell the future. She earned a lot of money for her masters by telling fortunes. I love this man because it teaches us so much. This girl was in bondage. This girl was in a demonic state of being. She was doing the wrong thing. She was in a pattern of sin. She was in a pattern where she was influenced by demonic forces. And the text says is that she earned a lot of money for her masters by telling fortunes. When you are in a situation and you are in a mess, there's always somebody that's going to benefit off of your mess. Sometimes you know that you're in the wrong situations because somebody's actually benefiting off of your mess. Somebody's benefiting off of the fact that you got a drug problem. Somebody's benefiting off of the fact that you fornicate and you have a sex problem. Somebody's benefiting off of the fact that we have these demonic forces that put strongholds in our lives. So the text teaches us, y'all, that she had a spirit that enabled her to tell the future. Watch this, y'all. Everybody look up here. She could not deny, they could not deny that she had a gift. Paul could not deny, because as a matter of fact, she was able to tell the people that who Paul was and who Silas was. They could not deny the fact that she could tell the future, because that was exactly what they were going to do. They were going to tell the people about Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. That was not a denial. The problem is the source from which it came. Every wonder is not wonderful. Everything that you hear that sounds spiritual is not spiritual. Everything that you hear and every word that someone gives you is not spiritual. Okay, let me just go down this route. In the Bible, prophetic words were never given, y'all, to tell you that you was about to get a car. None of the prophets came to give a message from God to tell you that you're going to get a financial breakthrough. None of the messages from the prophets in the Bible came to tell you that you was born on a certain day. None of the messages came to actually tell you anything about you separate from God. The prophets came to give you a word from God about the plan that God had for your life. At the end of the day, this book is not about you. It's about him. And it's about the role that you play in his plan. Come on, somebody. The Bible is not, the word of a God is not to make you jump up and down. The Bible and the word from the Lord is about to give you purpose. Now, I jump because I'm excited that he wrote me in his plan. I'm excited that he has a plan for me. But listen, if he don't give me another car, he steals good. He steals good. If he don't open up another financial breakthrough, he's still good. He's still God. And I'm still in his plan. And so what happens, man, is we jump from one wonder to the next wonder to the next wonder to the next wonder. And we get caught up in a python of spirituality. And we never get to obey the word. Let me just tell you this. Some of us, we do not need another word. We do not need another revelation. We need another act of obedience. You do not need another sermon. You need an act of obedience. You need to obey the word that God has already given you to do to glorify him in your life. So don't get caught up in this fact, man, that every wonder is not wonderful. Every man that tells you that you're pretty ain't wonderful. Ladies, every woman that tells you that you all of that is not telling the truth. Amen to that. Come on, somebody. Every wonder is not wonderful. Sometimes, man, you don't need a word of encouragement. Sometimes you need a word of correction. Sometimes you need somebody to tell you to get your stuff together. Sometimes you need to tell you to get yourself up and keep going and trust God in your situation. Come on, somebody. So not only that, every wonder is not a wonderful, but watch this. The text says, In verse 17, I'm going to give you my second point. The python will follow you if you don't break it. The python will follow you if you don't break it. So what's the python? The python is that stronghold that the enemy has set up in our lives to strangle us. A stronghold is anything that is stubborn. You can always tell a demonic spirit because a demonic spirit is always stubborn. It's something that will not move in the physical. That's what makes it demonic. We have what we call generational curses. And then there's no such thing as generational curse because Christ died and on the cross, he paid for the curses. But we do have what's called generational patterns. Because I always ask God to convict me of these messages before I preach them to you. So in my private time, I'm talking to God and I say, God, I don't know necessarily if I have a demonic spirit and what should I do with this text? How should I apply this to my family life and how should I apply this to my own self? Because I always try to do that before I preach it to you. And he spoke to me and he said, you don't think that you have a demonic force working in your life because you're not foaming at the mouth. You're not falling out. You're not shaking. You don't have any visible signs of possession. He told me in his own way that you watch too much Exorcist. Amen to that. And God said this, man, listen, you may not be foaming at the mouth. You may not be shaking, but you do have patterns. And you have been doing certain patterns that have been set up by the enemy to get you off of course. You have patterns. You have some stuff in your life that you need to deal with if you're going to get to the next level in me. You got some stuff that you got to break and stop doing in order to get to the next level in me. So what is my word to you? You may not be foaming at the mouth this morning on college Sunday. You may look good. You got your college on. You got your sorority. You got your fraternity, all that stuff on. But you do have some demonic patterns that the enemy has set up in your life to destroy your family, destroy your life, destroy everything because he comes to steal, kill, and destroy. I wish Christianity was all about offense. Like God give you a word and you just go do it. But in order to live this life victorious in Christ, you also got to play defense. You also got to know that you have an enemy and that this is spiritual warfare. And so I'm asking, man, what are those patterns in my life that I need to break? What are the things that I've believed over and over again that just aren't true? I talked this morning about this thing about guilt that I see in the church and in the people of God. Somebody did something that you had no control over, and 5 years later, 10 years later, you're still having guilt about it, and you can't move freely. You can't trust God freely. You can't praise God freely. You can't celebrate God freely because of this guilt. There are some things that will happen to you in this life. Okay, let me just get real with y'all before I end. There are some people that will happen to you in this life, and it ain't got nothing to do with what you did, what you didn't do. You couldn't have called them enough. You couldn't have counseled them enough. You couldn't have loved them no more than what you did. You couldn't have cared for them no more than what you did. They was going to walk out anyway. Come on, somebody. Listen, it is not your fault mama wasn't there. It was not your fault that daddy wasn't there. It was not your fault that some people walked out. It just is what it is. Stop having this spirit of guilt. You could not do no more. You need to be free to praise your God. But these things come it sucks the life out of us. It sucks the life out of us. Regret. Man, I coulda, shoulda, woulda, coulda do. You have today. You have today. Don't mess up your today regretting yesterday. You got a 24 today. Anybody ever witness that I got a 24 today? Okay, is anybody a witness to say, man, I'm breaking regret right now in Jesus' name? That yes, I messed up yesterday. Yes, I failed yesterday. Yes, I did it, but I have today. Thank God there's no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus, who walk not after the flesh, but after the Spirit. Yes, I fail. Yes, I messed up, but I'm leaving that behind me. I'm pressing toward the mark for the prize of the calling in Christ Jesus. Yes, I could have did better yesterday. Yes, I dropped the ball yesterday, but I'm moving forward in Jesus. So I'm not holding nothing against me that God ain't holding against me. And I won't allow you to hold something against me that God has not held against me. The devil is a liar. I am free. I am set free. I am a child of God. I am fearfully, wonderfully. I still have a purpose, and I have not messed up the plan for God in my life, because he can still make all things work together for the good of them who love God and who are called according to his purpose. He's that powerful. Yeah, I messed up and I got some scars, but God has a way of taking scars and proving his existence. You remember Thomas? Thomas doubted God. He says, unless I see the holes in his hand and the nails in his feet, I will not believe. Jesus Christ died on the cross, went to the grave, got up, proving that he was all God, all man at the same time. He healed the sick, but for some reason he did not heal his own hands. Because the hands was evidence that he went through what he went through. But I love this, because he says, watch this. He not only did he say, and I got the scars, but he says, Thomas, touch here. Touch my scars. Prove that I went through what I went through. I love this, man, because that's a revelation. Because even though he still had the scars, he was able to let somebody touch him. So even though he had the scars, they didn't hurt him in a way that would allow him to not be able to help somebody else. What am I trying to say? Listen, you need to break the spirit of guilt, the spirit of regret, the spirit of mistakes, because the scars that you have, God knows you have them. And he's saying, touch here. I can take those scars and work it for your purpose and the betterment for somebody else. There are some people that can't hear my sermon, but they can hear your testimony. There are some people that ain't going to feel my spirit, but they'll feel what you've been through. Is there anybody here that can testify and say that I got a revelation because I knew somebody who went through something, and I said, if he did it for him, I know he can do it for me. Is there anybody here that's in church that tried God just because you saw what he did for your cousin, you saw what he did for your mama, that they were able to use what they have been through? Man, forget a pattern. Forget what you've been through. God is able to do exceedingly abundantly above all the asking thing, according to the power that works on the inside of you. Don't matter what side of town you was raised on, he can do great things in your life. No matter what you didn't have or what you had in the past, he's still able to do great things in your life. I know the thoughts that I have towards you, thoughts of peace to prosper you, to give you a future and to give you a hope, to give you a future. That means that you're going to live and not die. All right, watch this, y'all. I'm done. Every wonder is not wonderful. Break the spirit of the python, the pattern will follow you if you don't break it. And then thirdly, the python is killed when you get tired. The python is killed when you get tired. Verse number 18, it says, this went on day after day until Paul got so exasperated that he turned and said to the demon within her, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And instantly it left her. Verse 18, y'all missed y'all shout. This went on day after day until the Paul got so exasperated that he turned and said to the demon within her, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. Okay, don't worry about shouting. I'll help y'all out. Verse 18, it says that he got exasperated. In other words, he got tired of her mess. Now, this young lady, she's possessed with a demonic force, and she follows Paul around. Now, I would love to say, because the Bible is so real, and I mentioned this in first service, I would love to say that Paul was like super spiritual from the start, that he saw this demonic force. He saw it was something that was against God. He cast out the demon, but the text don't say that. The text says that this slave girl who came to bring this message to basically be a nuisance and to slow them down from their purpose, to prevent them from doing what they wanted to do for Jesus. It says that she followed them day after day after day after day. She followed them for days. I thought in my mind, I was like, man, you know, Paul, maybe even in the beginning when she followed him and he said, you know, you guys are Paul, you are Silas, you are apostles from God, you are sent from God to talk about the Son of God. It might have sounded good the first few times, because everybody needs some affirmation. Because y'all remember last week he got stoned, pulled out the city, and then they ran him out again. Everybody after that, you need somebody to say you're doing a good job. Like, you just like just keep up the good work. Come on, somebody. Like, anybody, somebody, every now and then somebody need to say, just say thank you, like you're doing a good job. And Paul got pulled out. And so they might have liked the fact that this slave girl was know who they were. But day after day, he began to notice something. And he began to notice this was actually a demonic spirit. And the text says that he got so exasperated that he cast the demonic spirit out. My question to us is, have you got tired enough of the pythonic demands, the pythonic strongholds, the stuff that you've been going through over and over and over, the conversations you've been having over and over and over, the repentance on the same sin over and over and over, this stronghold in your family that will not break over and over? Have you got tired enough to look to Jesus? Is anybody in here to just say, admit and say, I'm tired of this. I know it's not normal. I know that the enemy has purposely set some stuff up in my life in order to trip me up from where God will have me to be. But the text says he didn't do nothing until he got tired. Is anybody tired enough to say that in the name of Jesus the Christ, this stops now? Is anybody tired enough to say, listen, I will break the curse of poverty in my family in the name of Jesus? Is anybody tired enough and say, listen, I will not use drugs and my children will not use drugs, and this will be the last generation that will abuse substances in my family in the name of Jesus? Is anybody can decree and declare and says, listen, like, I might have some issues, but I ain't going to be depressed about stuff that I ain't got no control over. I'm going to cast my cares upon him because he cared for me. Is anybody can testify and say, I ain't going to be worried about no relationship that broke up in 2005 and this is 2018 and it's all these people up out here. Preach, Pastor Jay. I'm doing the best I can. I'm just saying. Get these strongholds. Listen, I know it hurt. Some stuff is set up by the enemy to keep you stuck. Some stuff he knew was going to happen, and then he sets up stuff in our minds and in our spirits that keep going over and over and over again. How you never in a good relationship, and I ain't talking about romantic relationship, like, how you always fall out with everybody. How you never can find a place that's good for you to work. Like, every place, like, how every time you get a little extra money, you got to go to the mall. You got to buy that. Now, I know y'all think I'm being trivial, but you never know how one thing is connected to your ultimate destiny. The fact that you can't say no to that purse may be connected to the fact why God can't open the next door for you. So the text says, I'm done, JJ. Watch this. It says this went on day after day until Paul got so exasperated that he turned and said to the demon within her, I command you in the name of Jesus Christ to come out of her. And instantly it left. Watch this. The power was not in the fact that Paul prayed and fasted, although I know that Paul probably prayed and fasted. The power was not in the fact that he went to cast demon schools. It didn't say that in the text. The fact that he did not know who to call to cast this demon out. Because eventually you're going to have some stuff in your house that you ain't going to have time to call the pastor, the deacon, the ministry leader. You're going to have to stand up to the face of the devil and say, in the name of Jesus Christ. The power, Crystal, was in the name of Jesus Christ. The power was in the name of Jesus Christ. Now, don't miss this, y'all, because we're dealing with different spirits. We're dealing with different spirits. This lady had a demonic spirit. And this is not just about shouting the name of Jesus over your situation. It's about putting anything and everything that is not of him under the lordship of Jesus Christ. Because at the name of Jesus, every knee shall bow and every tongue must confess. So what does that mean? That means is that you don't always need a contact. Sometimes you need the name of Jesus the Christ. Sometimes you don't necessarily need any extra money to get that dream off the ground. Sometimes you need to do what he told you to do and say, in the name of Jesus the Christ, if you gave it to me, you're going to open a door. Sometimes you don't need another marriage counselor. Sometimes you need to look your spouse in the face and say, in the name of Jesus the Christ, we're going to get this together. We're going to love each other like the Bible has told us to say we love. I'm going to sacrifice. You going to sacrifice. We're going to get this together. We submit our marriage under the name and the lordship of Jesus Christ. We ain't trying to figure it out in our feelings. We just going to do what he said to do. Sometimes to get through school and to have faith and stuff, you need to forget your feelings and say, in the name of Jesus Christ, God, if you put me here, you're going to bring me through it in the name of Jesus Christ. And watch this, y'all. In the text it says that after this demonic spirit was cast out, that after this demonic spirit left, the text says that the merchants arrested Paul and Silas because they had messed up their scheme. So let me help you out. When you locate the Pythonic spirit in your life, when you locate the demonic stronghold that God has set up in your family, in your life, and you begin to pray and fast and call on Jesus' name in it and obey him in it, and that thing begins to break, everybody is not going to be happy with you. There are going to be some friends that you need to lose because there are some friends that you are associated with and they can only be friends with you when you bound. And if you can't be friends with me when I'm free in Christ, you're really not a friend. If you can only be friends with me when I'm doing something that's going to send me to hell, then you're really not my friend. If you can't celebrate the fact that God has renewed my mind and God has renewed my heart, if you can't be happy for me, then you're really not my friend. That you need to let some people go, let some things go in order to walk into what God would have you to be. I was at home this weekend. Well, that's where I got those pictures from. So I was at home this weekend, and we went to a funeral. Then I, you know, stopped by my mom's house or whatever. So we was going through all these old pictures and reminiscing and stuff. And my dad died 6 years ago or whatever. And this is the thing about grief or whatever. And I tell people all the time, is you're a Christian, and sometimes we have to try to super spiritualize stuff, but some stuff just takes time. It just takes what it takes, and it's okay to grieve. Amen to that. And so, I was a preacher, so I just moved on, tried to move on. So every year, whatever, like this year, you know, I just started to grieve my father's death in a healthy way. In a healthy way. And so one of the things, man, is like, you know, mom was like, man, I just want to go through some of the old pictures and just kind of, you know, just reminisce and stuff like that. That's where I pulled those pictures from. Y'all see that fade? No, that fade was on. I had the best fade in the 219. I'm trying to tell you. I had hair, Kanika. What, Kanika? I had hair. Just saying. All the way up into 25. Amen. But, you know, we was going through the pictures and stuff, and I was, you know, we was talking, and my sister was there. And my sister had this thing, like, back in the day. She had this word, and some of y'all use it, and if I just kind of wince if you use this word, like, it's not about you. It's about her. This word, Chris, Ann. She'd be like, Ann? Oh, I hated that word. Like, you know what I'm saying? Because, you know, like, we would be messing with each other or something like that. Or my sister was like a sore loser, right? So we'd be playing like spades, and she would beat you in spades like 3 times. And then you would beat her 1 time, and she'd be like a sore loser. So she'll take the cards and like throw them up or whatever and quit the game. You'd be like, you won 3 times. I won 1 time. And you throwing the cards all over the place. She'd be like, and? And then, you know, we used to joan on each other. And one thing about my sister, don't tell her if she come here or whatever, she has one leg that's a little bit longer than the other ones. And so she kind of walk like this. So I would get on a case about this, you know, one leg longer than the other ones or whatever, because, man, she was real fast in track. But when she got to high school, it started affecting her. And I was like, you lost a scholarship because one leg started growing a little bit longer than the other ones. But you know what she said? And like nothing could hurt her feelings. Like, ask my wife. Like, she'd be like, and like, it don't matter, right? But in your spiritual life, sometimes you need to have an and spirit. When the enemy comes up and tries to put doubt in your mind about who you are and your future and what God has called you to be and called you to do, sometimes you need to do like Jessica Robertson and be like, and? When the enemy tries to come up and says that you don't have a destiny, you need to say, and? When the enemy comes up and tries to say that you, what you used to do and who you used to be in and you can't change, and? You need to look the enemy in the face and say, I got an and spirit, that I will move on, that I will get through this, that I will live and not die, that I'm not stopping here. Is anybody can testify and say, you can look the enemy in the face and say, I know your tricks, I know your enemies, I know you're trying to get me off track, and I know who you are, and I'm coming with everything I got in the name of Jesus. The devil is a liar. I will not die right here. I will live. This family will live. My finances will live. My purpose will live. My destiny will live. My dreams will live. This body will live. I'm going to do everything that he told me to do while I got breath in my body. Is there anybody here that can testify and know that you serve an and God? That and he will make a way out of no way. Yes, you messed up, but and he will open doors that will not close. Yes, you fell on the face, but and he will pick you up, turn you around, and set your feet on solid ground. Is there anybody here that knows that even you messed up, and he will forgive all of your sins, not according to your riches, but according to his riches in Christ Jesus? Is there anybody here can testify and say, I'm coming back because I serve an and God? That he died on Friday, he was buried on a Saturday, but early on Sunday morning, he got up with all power in his hand. And the reason I can get up is because I serve a resurrection God. So listen, don't believe nothing that God ain't told you. Like, if you say something to me and God ain't said it, it's a lie. Period. There is some advice that you need to stop taking. There are some conversations that you just need to start cutting off. You need to cut it off. Eric and Chris, they about to get married. Well, you know, all marriages, 50% of marriages inside and outside the church end in divorce. And the devil is a liar. I ain't married to 50% of the population. I'm only married to one person. I only got to make it with that one person. And you know, most black men that grow up in the inner city end up incarcerated or dead by the age of 30. And God has destiny on my life. I can defy the statistics if it's in his plan. Come on, stand to your feet. Stand to your feet. But seriously, listen, before we leave, I want to pray. Whether we know it or not, sometimes the enemy comes and he sets up footholds. And usually a foothold or stronghold is not obvious. Usually a foothold is very sneaky. It comes in by one disappointment, another disappointment, another disappointment. And then we just kind of start to water our belief down. Right? So we can quote the scripture, but we don't actually start, we stop actually believing it. And so the enemy has circled around us like the python and begin to squeeze the life out of us. And before you know it, we don't have any life in that area no more, because we've allowed the enemy to squeeze it out of us. So I'm asking, man, in the power of the Holy Spirit, in Jesus' name, man, seriously ask him, Lord, locate the area that the enemy has set up to destroy me. Locate that area. Somebody in here right now, Lord God, they can't smoke weed like everybody else. They got a family history of substance abuse. And they in college right now, Lord God, and they smoking weed and they think it's innocent, but it's going to lead to something else if they don't stop it right now. Somebody in here right now, Lord God, had one door closed and another door closed. And you just forgot and stopped believing that God had another way for you. Somebody right now, Lord God, just feeling bad in their body, bad in their mind, Lord God. And because of that, because they're going through a storm, they think that the storm will last always. That it's always going to be like this. Father, we come against the pythonic spirit that comes to squeeze the life out of us. Father, I claim life, that we shall live and not die. That if you said we're going to make it through school, we're going to make it through school. In Jesus' name. If you said that we're going to be successful on that job and you put us on there, Lord God, we're going to be successful in Jesus' name. If you said the ministry is going to make it, we decree and declare that the ministry will be exceedingly abundantly above all that we ask or think in Jesus' name. If you said, Lord God, that you've given us the power to build wealth, to establish your covenant, and that's my desire, and you gave a gift, Lord God, in Jesus' name, it's going to happen. If you said that we're going to not be debt, we'll be the lenders and not the borrowers, in Jesus' name, we claim it in right now, Lord God. If you says that we can break the ties of sin over our life, we ain't just got to do the same stuff over and over again. We break it right now in Jesus' name. If you said, Lord God, that we can honor you in our marriages, honor you in our relationships, that we can make it the distance, Lord God, in Jesus' name, we claim, Lord God, right now. And so, Father God, every area that the demonic forces come to steal, kill, and destroy, Father God, we claim victory right now over that area in Jesus' name. We ain't got to have all the contacts, but if we got Jesus, we got it. We ain't got to have anything except for the approval of your Son. And we give your name glory. Locate that area, Lord God. Let us walk out of here changed with the determination, Lord, that through consistent lordship, that you can heal, that you can give peace, and that you give freedom. Father God, we come against the spirit of regret, and we come against the spirit, Lord God, that we did some stuff. We can't control other people. You didn't do nothing. Be free of that. You couldn't have done anything else to make it work. It's done. It's not your fault. We don't walk with any guilt, but we walk with freedom right now in Jesus' name. Listen, man, listen, if you believe that, if God has located your area, man, come on, just praise him. Come on, just give him glory. All right, that was for you. But can you praise God for your neighbor? Come on, come on. Them who the Son has set free is free indeed. He who the Son has set free is free indeed. He who the Son has set free is free indeed. Right now, in the power of the Holy Spirit, if you're here for the very first time, or if you're here, you've been coming to church, but you haven't made a relationship with Jesus Christ, you know you're not saved. You know you don't have a relationship with Jesus Christ. Tomorrow is not promised. You cannot get it together by yourself. He never told you to get it together by yourself. He says, listen, come to me, all you have labor, heavy laden. I'll give you rest. I love you so much. I paid for it already. I'll give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn from me because I love you. So my yoke is easy and my burden is light. Listen, don't walk out of here unsaved. It's not a process. It's a decision. Sanctification is a process, not salvation. Salvation is a free gift, and it ain't got nothing to do with what you did. It has everything with you believing in what he's already done. Don't walk out of here unsaved because you're trying to get yourself together. You can't get yourself together. Secondly, if you need to recommit your life back to Jesus, if you know that you've been walking away from him, you may be saved, but you know you need to recommit your life back to him. Make sure you do that today. And then thirdly, maybe you've been coming here to reach. Maybe you're here for the very first time. There's a few people that I don't know. Somebody told you, man, you got to come to Reach Church for College Sunday. And you thought that you just come in just because you wanted to hang with your friend. But the Holy Spirit wanted to meet you right where you are. Don't leave today without getting connected. Listen, if you're here for college, you still need a church home. You still need a, we could be your watch care home to cover you while you're here in Ypsilanti, Michigan. So make that decision today. Real quick, just touch your neighbor. Just look at your neighbor in the face. Say, hey, do you need to make a decision today, neighbor? Do you need to make a decision today? Like, ask him for real. Do you need to make a decision today? Give God a hand clap of praise. Give him some glory. You may be seated in the presence of the Lord. Amen. It's a time that we come in our service to give back to God a portion of what he